The following is a presentation of Redline Synthetic Oil. WFO at the Big Go with Joe Costello. Take a walk through the nitro pits as WFO Radio brings the U.S. Nationals to you. Racing fans from around the world, strap in and hold on. It's time to go WFO at the Big Go. Here's your host, Joe Costello.
WFO Radio. Hello, race fans, and welcome to the Chevrolet Performance U.S. Nationals. WFO Radio presented by Redline Synthetic Oil. We are on location in Indianapolis, home of the biggest drag race in the world. Over 880 competitors here in Indianapolis on the grounds to battle it out for the Wally. 60 years of racing ongoing here at Indy. They haven't all been here at Indy, but there have been 60 U.S. Nationals. And folks, what is happening around us is unreal. We're going to be bringing you content from the pit area, from locations around town, from race car shops. We are going to be all over this thing, covering it heavily. Thanks to the folks at Redline Oil. They sent us here for the third year in a row, I believe, several years straight. Redline Oil sponsoring this broadcast. We certainly thank them, and we look forward to all that we're going to do. Big things happening. Be sure to subscribe, listen to the show, and follow along on Twitter and Facebook. Download the WFO app and enable push notifications, because whenever there is new content, we are going to alert you. We're going to send out a push notification, new content available in the WFO Radio app. Click the archive or check Facebook and Twitter. It will be out there as well. If you're a first-time listener, oh, here it comes, the first-time listener speech. If you've never clicked on the show and you don't know about WFO Radio, that's okay. It's a real hardcore underground thing in the world of NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing. I'm building it up a little bit. But the bottom line is, you hear the behind-the-scenes stuff here. You hear from the drivers. And I think this show you're about to hear is going to be a great example. We've got a lot of cool stuff going on here on the second day of the U.S. Nationals. The folks at Mopar have made a huge announcement about the future of their drag pack program. We're going to hear from Big Daddy Don Garlitz. We're going to hear from Herb McCandless. We're going to hear from Roland Leong. We're going to hear from Jed Coughlin. We're going to hear from the people behind the scenes at Mopar that have invested tremendously to come out here and battle at the Chevrolet Performance U.S. Nationals. Think about that. Got Copo Camaros and Cobra Jets and drag packs, and they are battling on the track. They are battling in the boardrooms, and the horsepower wars are here again. So what's Mopar going to do? What do they have? What's the announcement? Well, we're about to get to it. Be sure to click subscribe. Click the banner ads of our sponsors. Check out what they've got. They got us here. They're good people. And we are about to move forward with WFO Radio, presented by Redline Synthetic Oil, on location at the U.S. Nationals. Mopar, major announcement. Here we go.
Big Daddy Don Garlitz, ladies and gentlemen. It's been a long while since you had a beard here in Indianapolis, isn't it? You need to shave there, brother.
Yeah, I'm going to shave it off. We're going to reenact that 1967 event when I, came here vowing not to shave until I ran 6 seconds. And, of course, everybody had a good laugh. In fact, one of my competitors who's actually on the grounds today said, when you run six, old man, I was about 32, I guess, maybe 35, and said, that beard will be snow white and you'll be tripping over it.
That was one of the great moments in all the drag racing history. Now, of course, with all the Mopar people, with all the great history of the Hemi, you, of course, did the whole evolution of the class. Tell us about the first time you ran with a 426 in your top fuel car.
Let me give these people just a little Hemi Don Garlitz 101. First of all, I didn't start off to get a Hemi. We didn't like them. They were too big and too ugly. We liked Cadillacs and Oldsmobiles, and the reason we liked them was because the Revenuers liked them. And the Revenuers were our heroes in the early 50s. I mean, they drove fast cars, they drank moonshine liquor, and they outran cops. I mean, that was a hero.
It's like the trifecta right there.
When I went to get my Cadillac, they didn't have any, because the guy that had all that late model wrecks at that time, that the revenuers just left and they took every old and got like I had in the building. But he said, over in the corner, I got something that you'll like better. I said, what is that? He says, the 1954 331 Hemi, New Yorker, with a four barrel, makes 235 horse. Honest. And I put some tape across the valve covers. It would fit my 39 Ford. And away I went. And I'll tell you, it was the best move that I ever made. I made a lot of good runs with that engine. And, of course, progressed to the 354 and the 392. And actually, I got a little help from Chrysler, kind of on the sly. They used to send me takeouts out of the 300s. A lot of 300s got hurt in those days. Rich people bought them. Young kids of the family drove them hard. And they hurt the engines, and they'd take them back to Chrysler, and they'd get them warranty. And I'd get the takeout, which was good enough for what I was doing. We like to clearance them anyway. Well, anyway, that went on for several years. And in 1961, I got a call from Chrysler Dodge to come up to Detroit, Hamtramck. And they were going to introduce the 413 wedge. And they were going to put it in a Superstock. And would I like to be involved? And of course, I was really wanted to get more closely involved with them because it was just kind of a quiet deal. A truck would drop off a few inches in my shop every couple of months. So I flew up to Detroit, and they took me through all the tour. It was a wonderful adventure. The Hemi line was still running. It wasn't making 392s. It was making 354s, but it was really interesting to watch it. I saw them hard induction the crankshafts for the special engines. I saw all the every Hemi engine that was built was dynoed and the pan pulled off with the bearings checked, and then it was put in the car, went out to do whatever it was. It was just a bank of dynos where it was constantly running, dynoing these engines. They were wonderful engines. And of course, and by that time, 61, I'd made a few good runs with them. So we had this meeting. It was kind of like a lunch. And then after the lunch, we all have this discussion. And here's all the 413 guys, the engineers were all there. And there was one guy there, still from the early Hemi program, a little short German guy who never said nothing, just sat down at the end of the table and listened. And I listened to all of this stuff about the 413 wedge and how it was the superior engine to the 392, and it was going to take over the world and all this stuff. And it just made me sick inside because I knew what that Hemi would do. And so finally they gave me a chance to say a few words. And you know, that's not a good idea because usually I say whatever I think. And I said, I'll tell you what, guys, I'd like to build a 392 and I'll do whatever I want to it. And you build your 413 and you do whatever you want to it. And we'll hook it together with this giant clutch. And we'll rev both of them up to whatever RPM we want, and we'll engage a clutch and see what happens. And it was a complete silence. And the little German guy stood up, and this is what he said. It will reverse the rotation of the 413.
So it's the smartest guy in the room next to you.
And, well, I saw the picture up here, and 3 years later, they put Hemi heads on the 413. My case rests.
Big Daddy Don Garlis, ladies and gentlemen.
Here with Big Daddy Don Garlitz after the unveiling of the new Mopar Drag Pack. You were on stage with some of the legends of the Hemi. Spun a great story about the beginnings and how you were converted to this power plant. What do you think about what was just unveiled?
Oh, I tell you, I love it. It's what a very happy day. I feel like a kid in a candy store here between the 2015 drag pack and that blown Hemi firepower. My God, that's what I love. Because I like some of that old stuff. I mean, new firepower, that was a very trick name. I hated to see that go away. I'm sure glad to see him bring it back.
And they seem so committed to high performance right now. That has got to be a great feeling for all the car guys out there to see how Mopar and all the manufacturers are really leaning in on high performance and drag racing in particular.
You bet. You bet. It's good for racing. It's good for guys like us. It really gives you a good feeling, to, especially a person like me, been around forever, you know, with it. And I saw, you know, I was there when Chrysler got involved in the early 60s and watched what they've done over the years. It really makes you feel good inside.
We just heard you tell the story about the connecting the two engines together with a clutch, and the German scientist or mechanical engineer knew exactly where you were coming from and knew exactly what would happen. How interesting is it to think that things could have gone differently?
Yeah, exactly right. It's you know, we took one of the 413s. I didn't, you know, wasn't time to tell everything, but we took one of the 413s and we made it just as nice as we could possibly make it, and then we put our blower and everything on it, just like came off of the fuel car, and all the combination, everything. We took it out and ran it. It didn't come anywhere close to what the Hemi did. Plus, it hurt everything. So we packaged up all the parts and sent them to my boss at Chrysler. And I said, this is what happens when we do the same thing to this wedge motor that we run the Chrysler, and it runs on and nothing happens to it. I tell you, I bet they took a real good look at those parts.
Now, you are sporting a beard. We are at the Chevrolet Performance U.S. Nationals. You are going to recreate one of the great moments in your career. I have to say, though, the beard looks pretty good, Don.
Yeah, I dyed it up a little bit so it looked more like it did in 67. It was snowy white, and everybody was calling me Santa Claus, and I didn't like that, so I fixed it.
Well, and what are you going to be using to remove that thing come weekend?
Well, to reenact the scene, they're going to throw me an aerosol bomb with some shaving cream and a razor. I'm going to hit a little spot or two, and then they're going to have a professional barber take it right off over there under the tower.
And I got to say, Don, you look as full of life and young and mobile as you have ever looked. What is your secret out there for the listeners who are thinking, wow, Big Daddy is frozen in time, staying the same age? What are you doing? You do.
Well, I watch my diet, and I work hard. I still go to work every day, 82. I lost my wife in February, and I really went downhill there for a bit. 61 years, you know. And I met this young lady, and she was a photographer there in Ocala. She's right over here in the back there taking pictures. And she said, Big Daddy, you just can't let this happen to you. You got a lot of life left in you. And she said, let's get a bike. I know some bike trails. And I was 193 pounds, and I got to riding this bike with her. And we got them here. We're going to ride as soon as this is over.
Bicycle, not a motorcycle, a bicycle.
Bicycles, right. I did a 35-mile bike ride with her in 4 hours.
And Don, you look
surprised what it does for you.
You look, I'm serious, fantastic. At 82 years old, God willing, I look this good. It's incredible. Good job.
She says she's going to take me right to 100.
And beyond. Go for it. Keep doing what you're doing. Hey, thank you for coming out and sharing the stories. It's a big, big deal, the history of drag racing.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Don. WFO Radio here with another Mopar legend, Roland Leong. Roland, the U.S. Nationals, once again, a race that has great significance in your heart.
Yeah, not just my heart, but I think everybody's heart, because like they say, your career isn't anywhere unless you won the U.S. Nationals. And I was fortunate enough to win it probably as a 4 or 5 times. I won it twice to Perdone running his car. And then I won it with my own cars 3 times. So, this is the race of the race.
What do you think about the crowd, the historical significance, and all the recreations and the moments? And then the folks at Mopar using this opportunity to unveil their new drag pack and new power plant.
Well, I think it's great. You know, what we need to do is need to get the younger generation interested in more interested in a lot more of this stuff, like we were when we were kids, as kids meaning, you know, teens and 20s, and to bring back all this stuff, and as far as Mopar, I think is great.
And I just saw the movie Snake and Mongoose. I guess it was a year ago now, but to see a young Roland Leong go to a young Don the Snake, of course, they're actors, but you guys were very young. You were just kids getting involved in this great world of drag racing and really developed it, carried it, made it into what it has become today. Just take me back to that young Roland Leong. And did you ever dream it could be this?
No, never dream of it. Just to be able to do it in the day, I think, is something. And to a lot of these young guys, that day is over. We traveled all over the country, a lot of sleepless nights, a lot of work, which a lot of people don't really realize. We race Wednesdays, Thursdays, Saturdays, Sundays, every week. That's the way we made a living. And as far as the work, I guess we didn't think it was work. I guess, like Perón once told me, I guess we had the passion to do this, and we did it. And that's all. Right now, that's all history, but I had a great time, and I wouldn't trade it for anything.
When you look at the modern era of Nitro Funny Car, Nitro in general, the NHRA, 60 years of the U.S. Nationals, what are your thoughts about the direction of this sport? And for folks like myself and some of the young kids around here who are catching that passion that you just talked about, what do you think they will be doing 20 years from now?
Well, I hope I'm around to see it, and I hope it keeps going, only because I feel that I was not one of the pioneers, but I was in there in the early beginnings. And I know NHRA, Tom Compton and his crew up there, they're trying their damnedest as far as trying to keep the thing going. And I hope they're successful in doing that. I think they're going in the right direction, but we'll see.
Roland, thank you for taking the time, and an even bigger thank you for all the entertainment over the years. It was great. You weren't the only one enjoying it. We were, too. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
And FYI, Garlett says get a bike. It worked for him. That's his secret, bicycle.
I see. Maybe I might have to do it because he's 10 years older than I am, and he's looking good.
He looks good, right?
Amen. Very good.
Thanks, Roland.
You're welcome.
WFO Radio here with David Bailey. He is the SRT Motorsports Engineering Senior Manager. We have just unveiled a new drag pack and a new power plant. David, what is the significance of this announcement we have just seen here today?
Okay, this is the third generation drag pack car, modern era, that we have built. We built an 09, and then we built one in 2011 as a V10, and this one is going to be a turnkey car. And what we've done with this car, and it's still under development and in process, but the idea is that not only this will be a turnkey car where a drag racer can come out and run it down the track, but it's going to be very reliable, and he's not going to need to overspend to get the car fast. The car should be fast, and it should be reliable right from the get-go, and we think that will be a strong attraction for people coming in to the series, and I know some people will be buying additional cars to their existing fleet, but again, this thing is coming out with the 2015 LA, consistent with the new Challenger release of the Hellcat in the new Challenger bodies, and this is the racing version for that vehicle.
Please explain as best as you can what has happened that the manufacturers, and you guys are, of course, leading the way, but Chevrolet and Ford are doing this too. What has happened in the past 6-7 years that has caused this, what I would call, extreme emphasis on racing, performance? I think back to the early 90s, to the late 80s, to a large portion of my life, the last 30 years, and it didn't seem to exist. And then all of a sudden, there has been an explosion and a commitment to high performance, to drag racing, to sportsman racing, the fact that you guys are selling turnkey race cars like you once did.
Yeah, I would say that, you know, our performance-oriented customer base is always looking for the next race car, the next engine, the next technology. And this packages it all into one. And it, you know, again, it provides that racer a new baseline from which he can build from if he elects to, you know, do additional things to it. But the baseline is very strong, and we believe it will be competitive against some of the cars that are out there, perhaps where they have to spend a lot more money to get them there.
And you have a supercharged power plant on an engine stand over here. It looks very impressive. As an individual who feels pride about your work, when you see Don Garlett's eyes get giant when the reveal comes off and he sees the power plant. And he goes over and gives it a hug and a kiss. That has to be special for someone in engineering.
Oh, you're not kidding. That was so exciting and so cool to watch that. And you were here, you saw everybody flocking around. But in particular, we saw Don just, he was very excited and enthralled with it. I could see that the glimmer in his eye, this is cool. And he's looking around, and who knows if he'd ever want to go buy one. But it wouldn't surprise me. But, we just love that kind of the heritage that, he's bringing into this series and what he's brought with, his background, and to have him here present and really liking it just adds an exclamation point to everything we're doing here.
Do you feel you can bring new racers to the sport, potentially the golfer, the hobbyist who has a little extra money to spend, with the simplicity of what you're putting together? Hey, I can buy that and go race? Let's do it. As opposed to racers who have been in the sport their whole lives who may upgrade to this car. Is that a possibility with this thing?
I haven't. We haven't studied the marketing aspect of trying to get different groups of individuals out there buying the product as opposed to the target market of the race fans. However, I think there is an opportunity there. Again, on base production cars in her Hellcat with its 707 horsepower, and there's been a lot of interest in that. And then this is the race version of that car and that engine. Again, a different audience. However, again, I think there's going to be a strong attraction for perhaps new customers out there as well.
You must love getting up and going to work.
I do love my job, and I have a great group of people working for me. We do work long and hard hours, but we love it.
David, thank you for taking the time. Thank you for the invite to this great event, and everybody having a great time, and I understand why the passion comes through. Thank you so much for taking the time for WFO.
Okay, thank you.
WFO at the Big Go.
Red Line Synthetic Oil has been building the world's finest motor oil, gear oil, and additives, like our popular water wetter, for over 30 years. Think we're just for racers? Think again. Red Line has the multi-grade viscosity available for your domestic, European, or Japanese vehicle. From 0W20 to 5W30, even 10W60, Red Line motor oils are specifically designed to exceed the factory's demands, giving you longer drain intervals at lower oil temperatures. Is your off-the-shelf motor oil missing the zinc you need to protect your camshaft? Every bottle of Redline motor oil has more than enough zinc to suit your engine's needs. The same ester-based stocks found in Redline motor oil are also in our gear oils for manual transmissions and differentials. Known around the globe as the best in protection, regardless of price. Check us out at redlineoil.com to find a dealer, or even buy online. Racing technology engineered for the street. That's Redline Oil.
Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Whether you're a bracket racer who wants to get better or a thrill seeker looking to cross it off your bucket list, Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School can put you on the right track. Don't believe me? Tell him, Frank.
No matter how little or how much experience you have, we've got a program for you. So if driving a dragster is on your bucket list, there's no better time than now. And if you'd like to be a pro, well, here's the newest funny car chap, Jack Beckman.
Hey, this is Jack Beckman. Long before I was Fast Jack, I was a bracket racer who went to the Frank Hawley School. The time I spent there was some of the most exciting, intense, and fulfilling moments ever in a race car. I feel the curriculum Frank developed greatly helped me win not only the Super Comp, but also the NHRA Nitro Funny Car Championship. Frank put me on the right track. What are you waiting for?
Call them at 866-480-7223. That's 866-480-7223. 480-7223, or visit frankhawley.com.
Get ready for takeoff, race fans. The NHRA Carolina Nationals are back at C-Max Dragway, September 12th to the 14th. There will be no speed limits. These road rockets fly down C-Max Dragway at 330 miles per hour. All the superstars. Watch Forrest, Brown, and Schumacher push the outer limits of speed. Best of all, kids are free and every ticket is a pit pass. Call 1-800-455-FANS. The NHRA Carolina Nationals, September 12th to the 14th, only at C-Max Dragway.
Hey everybody, the summer is here, and that means it's time to grill. Remember just a couple of months ago when you were freezing and you were thinking, I can't wait until I can get out there and grill something? Well, now you can, and if you're going to do it, you got to do it with the most awesome barbecue rubs going. Check out RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. Marvin Rodak, a big NHRA fan and WFO radio listener, has award-winning spice rubs that you can order online or by phone. Go to RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com, 817-924-6821. I just tried two new hot sauces that he's got going. The perfect condiment if you're grilling out this summer. Also, coffee in the morning. Marvin roasts his own blends. You got to try them out. RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. Or if you want to kick it old school, pick up the phone, dial 817-924-6821. Say, hey, Marvin, I heard about you on WFO. I want you to send me some coffee and barbecue rub, maybe some hot sauce, and it'll show up in the mail. That's 817-924-6821 for RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com.
Now, back to WFO at the Big Go. Here's Joe Costello.
Here with Herb McCandless, we are standing next to the Super Firepower new Mopar. Herb, what do you think when you're looking at this thing?
Well, it sure has come a long way. I was there when they did the 65 Hemi car, and this is a whole new world. It's amazing the power they can get out of these engines, and yet you can just put them in gear and drive them. That's just unbelievable. I remember when 425 horsepower shook the windows and the fenders vibrated and they got 8 miles to the gallon, and now they can do that and get 25 miles a gallon instead of the stoplight, and it's so smooth you don't even hear it.
You were talking about your first U.S. Nationals victory and how you framed it in a, what I at the moment thought was, that's kind of strange, but boy, it really makes sense. You were talking about it as job security. Number one, job security as a driver.
Well, Buddy and Ronnie had hired me in May. And there were only five major events back then. We went to York, and I red-lighted in the final. We came here. This was my second major event to run with them. I'd only been with them for 3 months. And I won the biggest race of the year, driving their car. And then we went to the World Finals, and I run it up there. So that pretty well secured my job with them, that I was going to be driving a pro stock car for the next year or two. And I stayed with them for 4 years till Chrysler pulled out and it all shut down. So, yeah, that was job security. And winning this race back then, especially the first pro stock race, you were just on top of the world is the best way I know to describe it. And that's the way I felt like I was back then. I was just living a life that people dreamed about.
A 998 ET.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is still very, very fast. That, now, you on the nines, you're moving.
Well, yeah, and we had real four-speed cars. You had to push the clutch down, shift the gears. And that's what happened to pro stock as the cars got faster and faster. When we got the cars down in the 90s in 72, there became less and less people that could get them from the starting line to the finish line consistently without having trouble. And, you know, luckily Ronnie and myself and people like Don Carlton, Don Grother, Don Nicholson and Bill Jenkins, and all of us could do it, because one reason that we could, and I've always said this was why we could do it, is because we made so many runs in a car every week. We'd go to a track somewhere where they'd want us to run a local guy, and maybe he made 3 runs a month in his car, and we'd run 3 days a week, make 3 runs at each track. We might go to Mile of Michigan and test and make 10 or 15 runs in 2 days. So we made so many runs in the car, it was just kind of like rhythm more than it was looking at the gauges and doing all that. It was kind of a practice makes perfect type deal for us, because we made so many passes in the car. Our cars were built so well that we didn't break parts. We hardly ever broke anything back then, realistically. People don't hardly believe that, but that's really the truth. We hardly ever broke anything. My 72 car, I never broke a transmission, and I broke two spider gears in it all year long. And that was all I broke in that car all year long. And we raced that car hundreds of runs. So that was the reason they went with the Lenco in 73, because they had fewer and fewer drivers that could get the cars down the track. And so that made drivers out of a whole lot of people that weren't able to drive the four speeds, which is good for this pro stock thing, you know, realistically. But it hurt us as far as being able to match race and everything, because we were kind of on top of the world, and, you know, they kicked our feet out from under us there.
Well, like a basketball player who can dunk the basketball above everybody else, and then they lower the hoop, say, and then everybody can do it. It makes perfect sense. Let me ask you, you're going to lead me into another question, but I want to follow up on that. What is the secret You are commonly known by many, many people as one of the greatest four-speed drivers on the planet Earth. That's a big statement. What is the secret to driving a four-speed in a great, solid, efficient way, the way you did? Is it pure talent, or is there something that you can impart to us?
Well, I think I was lucky that I had the ability, and we learned so much with the cars. We had our engines mounted completely solid where they did not move front to back, side to side. We had the firewall solid where it did not move, so when you mashed the clutch pedal down, you didn't lose anything there. We figured out the correct ratios on the pedal to get the proper clutch disengagement so the car would shift. And we spent a lot of time doing that stuff, and other people just bolted it together and went out and ran it. And then, like I said a while ago, we made so many runs in the car. That was a big plus.
The next question, you talked about the moment where the four speeds were replaced by the Lencos, and it was kind of a paradigm shift for the class. There are many people debating right now about a potential new or next paradigm shift. We're looking at a drag pack. We've seen the factory stock showdown cars out there compared to the 500 cubic inch chassis type pro stock cars. Perhaps you've heard the debate that is raging, that some people think maybe pro stock should go back to cars like factory stock showdown, that are actual factory cars, as opposed to pipes that are bent and made to look like a replica of a car, like the 500 cubic inch cars. Do you have an opinion on that? Do you have an idea what you think would be a good idea? What would you like to see?
Well, sure.
If you want to weigh into this.
I would love to see the real cars back running, but, you know, the cars evolved. In 70, when I won this race, I had a stock Duster body with a Hemi in it, a four-speed, a Dana rear end, and a bolt-in Lakewood roll bar that you bought at the speed shop. That was what we had. 71, we started putting roll cages in them, tying the frame together. 72, we got a lot more serious with making the car stiff. That's when we learned that the stiffer the car was, the better it worked. And by 73, they changed the rules to where it was a tube chassis car, and it just went crazy from there. Now, once the people have seen these cars go in the sixes, how are you going to convince a guy in the stands to watch a 9-second car when, or, you know, even an 8-second car when your super stock cars go that fast now? So what would designate a super stock car from a pro stock car? That's what would hurt it. So I think the pro stock has gotten to where it is, and it'll probably just stay there. Those guys work so hard. When we used to go test, we looked for a tenth of a second. We were trying to find a tenth of a second. You know, Al Adam was talking about the test program a while ago. He was great. Al was the best of the best at coordinating all that and helping us find ET and testing and stuff. Well, now they look for thousandths of a second because they've just refined it and refined it to a point it's just getting harder and harder and harder to find more power.
Would you like to drive one of these new drag packs, and has that opportunity been afforded to you?
Well, I've been on the wagon for a long time, and I'm afraid if I got in there, I'd fall off the wagon again. I never could go race and play. When I started racing back in the 60s, I went to the race to do one thing, and that was win. And when I got hooked up with Chrysler in 65 and started really making a good living and making money with it, it was like an obsession. I mean, drag racing back then was an incurable disease, and you couldn't fix it. And we loved what we did. We got up every day of our life and just loved to get out of bed and go do what we did, because we actually raced for a living, made good money, traveled all over the country, met a million people. And I never met a stranger. I talk to everybody. I just have a good time. I still go to all these Mopar events. I was in Canada 2 weeks ago at the Mopar Fest, and I do seminars at them where I do question and answer sessions to help people with their cars. I don't work for anybody. I don't sell anything. I just enjoy helping people with their cars, whether it's a race car if I can help them, or a street car they're building or whatever. I really enjoy that when a guy comes back to me and said, "Herb, I did what you told me, and it really worked." Nothing makes me feel any better than that.
Herb, thank you very much for taking the time. Congratulations on just being a part of this and, of course, your great career that helped this sport get to this point. Thank you so much, and obviously enjoy the race this weekend.
Thank you so much. Nobody has enjoyed this more than me, believe me.
Legends of Mopar from the past, legends of Mopar from the present, here with the reigning Mellow Yellow Pro Stock champion, Jeg Coughlin Jr. Jeggy, what an announcement here in the Mopar booth at the U.S. Nationals.
Man, no kidding. You know, it shows Mopar's commitment to the sport, and their passion is really second to none. And, you know, to see the new supercharged engine get unveiled tonight, and, of course, the new drag pack car, I think it's going to be, there's going to be a, a lot of eyebrows raised, you know, over these two announcements here. You know, I think we're going to have something for the other brands, without a doubt. A
couple of years ago, you made the switch to Mopar, and some people thought, that's interesting. Yeah. You know, Jag making a move, must know something. And I'm not, what did you know at that time, or was it just a feeling that they were really going to jump in with both feet? Because clearly they're making a commitment, a tremendous commitment, yeah, to the sport of drag racing in general.
Well, to be honest with you, I had already owned a drag pack car, and I had just announced I was stepping away from Pro Stock in 2010, and, you know, to kind of take a retirement maybe from the professional racing. And, you know, got to talking with Dale Aldo with Mopar and talking about doing some super stock testing for him with the new drag pack car that was coming out and the new V10. And kind of one thing led to another, and I think their passion and their will and want to win really won me over and got me excited to want to get back behind the wheel of a pro stock car. And shortly thereafter, we put a really nice program together, I think, collectively. And, you know, I think we've been very fortunate. We've had, this is our third year under the Mopar brand, banner, you know, to win a championship. And our second year was really nice. And I'd like to think we're in the running here again in 2014.
What do you think about ease of entry? I think drag racing is, ease of entry is the challenge. Like, if we want to go play golf, I know you play golf. We go buy some golf clubs, and we can get out there and hack around and try our best. Drag racing is a little tougher. Does a car like this make it easier for someone who has been in the stands, who's been to some races, maybe a sports car guy or a club racer, who wants to go drag racing and try it out, the fact that he could just order it up and come out here and try to learn?
Yeah, I think it definitely lends that opportunity without question. You know, in our sport, you know, really at a local level has a great ease of entry aspect to it. You know, as you know, there's hundreds of drag strips around the country, and most of them have a weekly program of some sort of which you can drive your daily driver right into the gate, pay an entry fee, and race for a trophy or even race for money if you desire in the bracket racing format, a handicap start format. So, you know, you can race the car sitting right in your garage. And I think, you know, sitting in the stands, as you mentioned, and, you know, seeing some of the new package cars that the big three have come out with, you know, over the last, has it been 5 or 6 years now, does allow an entry into more of the kind of the NHRA sportsman level without question. I know we were really excited with the announcement of the package cars and ended up buying a drag pack car of our own and have run, you know, well into the 9-second zone in it. And it's just a ton of fun, you know. It's modern technology with the fuel injection, small 9-inch tire in our case with the stock eliminator car. But, you know, working with the electronic fuel injection is really neat, and the endless opportunities to try and tweak the timing and the engine efficiency, so to speak, to not only make it either really fast or make it very consistent. And in bracket racing, that's what we like, is very consistent.
60th Chevrolet Performance U.S. Nationals. Of course, a lot of great memories for the Coughlin family here. I remember seeing you when, I guess it was your first. I remember being a kid. I seeing into the top-end camera, you just pumping your fist after the wind light coming on. Thinking back to all the different wins that your family has had in different classes, this is truly a special race, and this is the 60th.
Yeah, it's Indy has always been our sports big go, obviously our Super Bowl of sorts. And as a kid growing up in the sport, we always enjoyed coming to Indy. Got to watch our father have great success here on the racetrack. His best finish in the U.S. Nationals was a runner-up, though, and which we were always proud of. But I know just about every inch of these grounds, been on them by foot, on bicycle, on motorcycle, on dirt bikes, anything you can think of. We know just about every inch of this place, and, you know, I've had a lot of great memories growing up as a kid, and then behind the wheel, some of my greatest racing memories have come right here on this famed drag strip. And probably one of my funnest and finest memory was winning the 50th anniversary 10 years ago, winning the Hemi Shootout in Harry Holton and Mike Wogburn's West Coast Hemis Challenge or Barracuda. It was the first time I ever sat in the car was Wednesday of the event, and you talk about just raw power And I really enjoyed driving that car. We ended up driving it right into the winner's circle on a famed Friday night in front of a packed house. That was probably one of my highlights of all time in the sport of drag racing and certainly here at Indy.
Yeah, there's more to come. Keep a slot open. I know there's going to be another one. Jake, thank you very much. Appreciate you taking the time.
Always a pleasure.
We have caught up with the director of marketing at Mopar, Tricia Hecker. The last time I saw Tricia, we were at the Mopar Mile High Nationals doing a drag race between the new Hellcat and a 71 Challenger. Who knew at that time that you were going to knock our socks off once again at the U.S. Nationals? Congratulations. Big, big, big statement.
Thank you. We knew we were going to do it, but of course, you know, you want one thing to come out at a time, and it's just time. You know, this is our third drag pack, and it's been a couple of years since we had our last one out, and, you know, we kind of measure what's going on in the market, and we think it's time. So we're really, especially with the release of the Hellcat and the different combinations that will enable.
Drag racing fans want to feel like the manufacturers are excited about drag racing. An announcement like this shows it, and actions speak louder than words. You guys are coming out with new drag racing cars.
Yes, we are. And, you know, this one's really not quite ready for release, but what we really wanted to accomplish tonight was bring it out here and get some feedback. You know, not wait until it's completely baked, but let the racers that are going to be using the product see it and give us some input into what they need. You know, what's going to really help them to compete out here well. And as you can see, well, you can't see, but you can hear the buzz, right?
I hear the buzz.
Yeah, so there's definitely a little bit of excitement, and we're definitely getting some input.
And Garlitz goes over and kisses the new power plant.
Well, of course he would. He is quite the Mopar guy, and we're very grateful to him for that.
Let's say you're a fan out there and you're listening and you're thinking, well, how does this affect me? Maybe I can't buy a drag pack, but I want to support what they're doing. Do you feel like, are you seeing the win on Sunday, sell on Monday effect happen for your more normal products?
Well, definitely. I mean, when we look at the fan base at NHRA, and they over-index in Chrysler Group products, primarily Dodge and Ram. So we know that, you know, certainly from a new car perspective, it's working for us out here. We have a lot of very loyal fans. You know, from a parts perspective, I think that's what's beautiful about Mopar is you can make your car your own. So we have so many different options. Maybe you can't quite aspire to your point of the drag pack, but what content can I take? And, you know, maybe I can do this now, and then next year I'll put this on my wish list and I can add to it and add to it and add to it. So we really try to make sure that we have enough content to please everybody and to be able to support that ongoing continuous improvement initiative.
Why was the supercharged power plant so important to you guys? And is it as simple as competition? The other manufacturers are making moves. You guys were first out of the gate with the drag pack. Yeah, you can order this thing. What, really? And then it seems like a one-upsmanship is happening among the manufacturers, which is really the point. And it's no fun if you don't have someone to race against, just making runs. And it seems like this new culture of competition is happening among the manufacturers.
Yeah. Well, definitely having the supercharged is very important to us. But that said, we really feel that it's important to have both combinations because we have many different classes to support and different racers with different mechanical preferences and competencies and such. And so we felt it was important to have options for the racers because if you're more comfortable with natural aspiration, then we want that option for you. But if you're more comfortable with the other alternatives, then, okay, here's, you know, what we have for you. So to us, again, it's about suiting the racers' needs and making sure that we're enabling their hobbies out here.
You renewed at the Mopar Mile High Nationals. That is a big announcement. Of course, we've got a tremendous event going on here. You guys are a big part of it. And we are really just getting started at this moment, folks. We've got the Hemi Challenge coming up. What are your thoughts just as obviously a marketing person? You come in, you see all this history, all these drivers, guys like Don Garlitz and Herb McCandless, and they were running programs back in the day, talking about meetings in the golden era of Detroit. As you walk in as a representative of the industry now, how does that all hit you?
It really is amazing, and I don't just say that, but you feel that, because this is so hard to replicate. any program that you're going to start today, I mean, how can you fast forward and are you still in it 40 years from now, 50 years from now? And it's so hard to build that kind of a legacy in any racing or any marketing program for that matter. And then when you hear the Herb McCandlesses and the Rolands up there and all the history that they have and the nostalgia that they bring and the influence that you know that they have had on their fan base over the number of years, I mean, that's just irreplaceable. You can't buy that in today's marketplace. So it's remarkable, and we're very grateful for it.
Any thoughts on who's going to win the race?
Are we talking pro stock? Or are we talking?
We're talking just whatever you want.
Well, the first thing that was on my mind was Factory Shootout, and I don't know who's going to win, but I sure know who I hope will win, which is clearly the Teuton Camp. Go, Kevin!
It was a trick question. I know the answer. Thank you for inviting us over. This is a tremendous announcement. Drag racing fans need to check it out. Hey, is there a website? Is there a place that we should drive people to check out to find out more about what we've seen today and your drag pack program?
Look for a blog to come out over the weekend on Mopar.com.
Excellent. Tricia Hecker, thank you so much. Appreciate your work now that we have been able to work at a couple of events. You guys definitely do a great program. What I saw at Bandimere in Denver was tremendous, and you guys are backing it up here. Thank you for your commitment to the sport of drag racing.
Thanks so much to you.
We have caught up with the motorsports manager for Mopar, Dale Aldo. Dale, you are handling a lot of the responsibilities in between the Bob Fry interviews, but when it came time to unveil the new car, you took the mic and made some very strong, powerful statements. I want to ask you about them first, but first let me say congratulations on an amazing piece up there.
Yes, we're really excited about the development of this new drag pack. We've been in the drag pack game since 2009. We've had a lot of success. Actually, we're the only drag pack to date that's won in modern era at Indy Stock Eliminator. So we've got cars that have dipped deep into the eights with our 426 package. The new car, we've made some heritage statements with the stripe treatment on the tail and the 426 on the motor. So we're real excited. We're continuing the Mopar. We realize who we are, where we came from. We're using it as we go flying into the future.
I can't wait to see it and to talk to you about it. But first, I always like to ask, I think it's important to know how you got here. How did you get here, Dale, motorsports manager at Mopar, making big decisions that affect every young drag racing fan around the world, not just drag racing, but multiple programs. I know you guys are involved in some drifting. You're involved in a lot of places. How did you get to this position? Were you always a car guy and a racing guy?
Well, actually, I got to this position from about 6 years old on. Cars have been my life. It's fortunate that I had some jobs along the way that exposed me to some marketing, exposed me to some graphics, exposed me to some production processes, exposed me to some engineering. So it's the sum of all those, along with a deep and abiding passion for the automobile, that have gotten me to this point. I was a sportsman racer for 30-some years, so I can share a lot of their concerns and understand when they come to me and explain something. At the same time, I've been a fan of NHRA drag racing for a long time. I love the pro classes, and I thoroughly enjoyed interacting with our pro teams.
You made a statement up there that Mopar, and you can quote yourself if you'd like, we are in this, and we are in this to stay. A very powerful statement. The kind of statement you don't normally hear coming out of a manufacturer about something like racing, because many consider it a frivolous thing in the past. If there was a cut, it was the racing program. You guys, you made a statement that sounded like commitment. It was powerful, and I heard you.
Well, I can only say that if you look at our history and you go back to the Chrysler 300 and you go up to the early Max Wedge cars and you go to the Hemi, Mopar and drag racing and motorsports have been synonymous. I don't think you can separate them. So if that's our DNA, I see that continuing to be our DNA.
Take me as best as you can, and our audience, as best as you can, into the meetings, the boardrooms, where you guys are thinking and dreaming up these ideas, like what, how will we raise the bar? What can we do? What do we think is the next move that we should make? And how does that all come about? Because we get to see these incredible products after you guys have been working on them for probably a long time. To make something a reality in the manufacturing biz, there's got to be a lot of pre-time put into this. What is it like dreaming up your next moves?
Well, I think what it is anytime you have a project such as this, it's the summation of many, many people's inputs, engineers and production people and supply chain and marketing people. It's a summation of all of those people. The Mopar Group has always been known for doing a great job, for being very creative, for coming up with things that altered wheelbases, Hemi engines, those type of things. It's just a continuation of that. We come to the job understanding that we have a very high bar to meet. That high bar was set by the people that were on the stage, the McCandlesses, the Garletts. Those are the people that made our heritage come alive. Our job is to take that torch, to burnish it up a little bit so it shines, to make the flame brighter, and to pass it on to the next generation. It's products like these which will allow us to do that. Mopar has always been known for performance. I mean, you think Mopar, you think performance. So the goal is to continue that because it's let us exist for over 75 years. And I look for the next 75 years to be even more exciting than the past.
The ownership group, as I understand it, is now with Fiat in Italy, which many people think that's a good thing or a positive thing. First of all, it's positive that this company exists in the way it does, and all of a sudden you're seeing cars that are high performance, maybe greater performance than we've ever seen before. But I'm going the long way around to get to you guys, and Ferrari are like connected in a way now through an ownership group. There has to be engineers there and engineers here that just want to talk to each other. Is that happening, or is that a fantasy that I'm having?
I'll be truthful with you. I really don't know. I will say, though, that if you look at our products, I'm pretty excited over the corporation and the stewards of the corporation, and I think the products speak for that, and that's where I am on it.
I love it. I love what you've done. You made Garletts kiss an engine, so that's a big deal.
Yeah. It's
it was a moist kiss, too. He was very happy.
It's a great opportunity. It's just a wonderful, wonderful opportunity to be involved in this kind of thing. To have the all-star cast that's been with Mopar their whole life sitting up on the stage, what more can you say? That is our brand. That is us. Those people up there got us to this point. Our engineers today, our marketing people today are going forward, and we're continuing to move forward.
Love it. Dale Aldo, thank you so much for taking the time for us on WFO Radio. More importantly, good luck with the car and good luck this weekend.
Thank you very much. We're real excited. This is the Nationals. The Nationals is a special event.
Well, folks, that's going to do it from the Mopar Performance Announcement here at the Chevrolet Performance U.S. Nationals, presented by Redline Oil. And the WFO Radio Show will be putting up new content all weekend long. We're wrapping this show up from the starting line. Everyone is gone. We can do it. We are right on the left side, the National Dragster Lane burnout box right in front of the tower. And if you don't believe me, check the WFO Joe Instagram or Twitter feed and see a photograph of the WFO mic. Kind of cool. And while we are here, want to tell you about some of the sponsors who have made it possible for WFO Radio to be here. Redline Synthetic Oil. Click on the banner ad. Check out motor oil, gear oil. You can order on Amazon.com. And bottom line, Redline Oil has been sending WFO Radio to the U.S. Nationals for several years. And, of course, we would love for you to support them, whether you have a project car, whether you've got a BMW, you want to pick up a couple of extra miles in wear and tear. They make some great products, a lot of zinc, everything you need to go that extra mile. Check out Redline Synthetic Oil. Click on the banner ad on WFOradio.com. Like them on Facebook or let them know you heard this show on their Facebook page. I'm sure they will appreciate it. Our great friends at Rodax. CoffeeandGrills.com. They have the WFO Radio blend, and I know Marvin Rodak is down in Fort Worth, Texas, listening as we speak, making the coffee, making the hot sauce, and those award-winning spice rubs. And of course, the folks at Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Open a browser, go to FrankHawley.com. Maybe you could be out here in the National Dragster Lane burnout box. in the cockpit of a dragster at some point in your life. Starts off at Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Try that dragster adventure. It will definitely open your eyes to exactly why all these racers are doing what they are doing. Most importantly, subscribe to WFO Radio so we can tell you about these great sponsors and let you hear the behind the scenes of the sport of NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing. We also do a NASCAR show and talk motorsports on a weekly basis. If you're a first-time listener, you can click on iTunes and subscribe to the iTunes podcast, or we have an RSS feed, or you can download the WFO Radio app, or TuneIn, or Stitcher, or if you use your mobile device to get entertainment like talk radio or podcasts or streaming your favorite channel, WFO Radio is for you. Just click subscribe, download the show, even go to WFOradio.com. That works too. I guess the first and original way to get the show. Big thanks to everyone we spoke to. How about that Mopar announcement? How about everything that has gone on so far here at the Chevrolet Performance U.S. Nationals? Unreal stuff happening, and it's only going to get better. So stick with us. If you're listening in the archive, there's another show posted. Click it. If there's not, go back and listen to Tuesday's show where we heard from Fast Jack Beckman. We heard from Blake Alexander. We had a great show all around. Randy Simpson, the general manager of Lucas Oil Raceway, actually came on the show and told us a lot of the things that are going on behind the scenes. Big Daddy Don Garlitz, the guy looks like he's 55 years old. It's unreal. I'm going to get a bike right now. No joke. And I saw Big Daddy's bike, by the way. Of course, it's tricked out. The guy can't just have a regular bike. It's got to be tricked out. All right, that's going to do it. Remember, click subscribe. Click on the banner ads. Check out our sponsors. Get your tickets. Z-Max Dragway, the Carolina Nationals' first race in the NHRA Countdown, just a couple weeks away. They're one of our sponsors as well. Be sure to get your tickets through the banner ad on WFO Radio. That's going to do it. From the starting line here in Indianapolis, the Big Go. I'm Joe Costello. More to come on WFO Radio. WFO!
The views and opinions of the hosts, guests, or callers do not necessarily reflect that of the station ownership, advertisers, or agencies.
I love WFO Radio.